Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Wicked, Weird, and Grim, your number one podcast for a trip through the history of the odd, haunting, and mystifying. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Aura. Together, we're the Grimm sisters.
Yay. Today, we're talking about a cryptid, and this one is especially weird.
Yeah, and it's a weird fella. Because it's weird, of course it hails from Ohio, as all weird things do. Yes. No offense, Ohioans? Is that how it's...
Ohioans? Yeah. Okay. My friend Kara is from Ohio. I don't know if she listens to the podcast or not. I think she does sometimes. I'll make her listen to this one.
Okay.
This cryptid is just as notorious as the Mothman in its home city of Loveland, Ohio. Despite its notoriety in this area, though, it is much more elusive than the Mothman or more commonly spotted cryptids. Though commonly spotted cryptids kind of seems like an oxymoron, because that's why they're cryptids. They're not spotted.
Cryptids.
Yeah.
That's a tongue twister. So the Loveland, Ohio area is a part of the greater Cincinnati region that's known for its beautiful scenery, especially for its rippling rivers and lakes. So it's no wonder then that the cryptid we're discussing today makes those waters his haunting grounds.
Without further ado, today's cryptid of the hour is the Loveland Frog, aka the Loveland Frogman.
And I had never heard of this before. Of course, Caroline had.
I thought I had chosen
one of the most obscure cryptids, yeah. But apparently I did not. So I still gotta, I'm gonna keep working on it. One day I will find one that she hasn't heard of.
You definitely will.
So
you always have me covered though in like folklore and stuff. You know? I never know anything about that.
I have to find like some type of really weird Polish cryptid or something.
Do
some
it.
Some Slavic cryptid.
Do it. With words I can't pronounce in it.
It's like you don't know it because the entire name is like 17 consonants.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Loveland Frogman is a humanoid amphibian that commonly walks around on only two legs and is about 3.5 feet tall.
According to Loveland folklore, one night in May of 1955, a traveling salesman was driving through Loveland. I feel like so many cryptid stories start with like traveling salesmen.
Exactly.
Like
it's the bread and butter of cryptid stories.
It really is. Like what were these traveling salesmen doing? Okay. Yeah. So this traveling salesman, he's driving through Loveland. He appeared to be entirely alone on the road, but then he crossed this poorly lit bridge over the Little Miami River. And these three humanoid-like frog creatures loomed in the shadows on the side of the road.
The salesman watched disbelievingly, as would I, as the three frog folk talked amongst themselves, oblivious to having an onlooker. The salesman noted they all seemed to be about 3.5 feet tall, with leathery skin and webbed hands and feet. They had bulging eyes, wide mouths, and deep grooves on their heads instead of hair.
Suddenly, one of the figures noticed the salesman. It said that the frog creature pulled out a wand and waved it. Yes, you heard that right. A wand, like a Harry Potter wand. So he pulls out a wand, he waves it, sending a spray of sparks flying in the air.
And then the man sped away, as you would. But he had the peculiar smell of alfalfa, which I don't even know what that smells like.
I don't either.
So the peculiar smell of alfalfa and almonds trailing behind his car.
Interesting. What is alfalfa? It's like a grass?
It's like a
wheat kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's a like...
It's a grain or like a grass?
I think it's like a grass,
it's
yeah.
It's a grass? Okay. So I guess maybe it just smells like grass?
Maybe. And so, almond smells like cyanide.
Yeah, I was going to say...
That's I don't weird. Know.
Is he poisoned? Okay. Unbeknownst to him, he was the first person to witness the Loveland Frog, or the Loveland Frogman.
And while the salesman's name has been forgotten, as it is prone to do with all of these salesmen who somehow
spot
cryptids.
These very anonymous people, yeah.
A sighting by two police officers in 1972 actually revived the tale.
Yeah, so I guess it was probably kind of like an urban legend up until that point. And then these cops were like, wait a minute, we saw this.
Yeah.
On March 3rd, that's my mom's birthday. So on March 3rd, 1972, at 1 o'clock in the morning, the Loveland police officer, Ray Shockey, was driving on Riverside Drive near the Totes Boot Factory in the Little Miami River. Suddenly, a creature dashed in front of his car, its eyes glowing in Shockey's headlights. I feel like so many cryptid stories. Cryptids love dashing in front of cars.
I know. Also the glowing eyes.
Yeah.
Although,
which
same
I mean,
could be said of any nocturnal creature. So.
Yeah. I mean, I see glowing eyes every day in my own house because I have a cat. So.
Same.
Yeah.
And before it skittered away, also like a cat, Shockey saw it was similar to the creature in the traveling salesman's tale, about 3 to 4 feet tall with distinctly frog-like features.
The frogman took advantage of Shockey's bewilderment and scrambled to the roadside, hopped the guardrail, and escaped into the river. The only trace it left behind were a few scratch marks in the guardrail's metal side.
2 weeks later, on St. Patrick's Day, Officer Mark Matthews drove around the same boot factory. Something large was crouched in the middle of Kemper Road. Thinking it was just roadkill, Matthews exited his car to clear it from the road.
The lump sprang at Matthews before it dashed to the guardrail and scrambled underneath, keeping eye contact with Matthews the whole time. Very creepy.
I know. I was like,
how did it do that? What? I'm trying to imagine this.
I think it would be more scary if they just sat there making eye contact with you. What do you know?
Yes, it's
what
like sentience it's like the do raccoon, you have? The raccoon you saw.
Yes. We had a standoff. Yes. Matthews drew his revolver and shot.
Probably smart.
The creature stopped moving. Matthews then recovered the body and put it in his trunk to show Officer Shockey.
Matthews guessed the animal to be a large iguana, about 3.5 feet long, but it was really hard to identify exactly what it was because its tail was missing, which is really sad. The poor iguana. He assumed that somebody had abandoned their pet when it got too large to care for, and that the cold-blooded iguana was just trying to keep warm by using the pipes that led away from the boot factory's ovens, which kind of makes sense. I can imagine that, like, they said the boot factory was near the river, too. Yeah. So I would imagine
maybe... It's a very logical explanation.
Maybe the river was also a little warm from that, you know?
Pollution.
Yay! Ooh,
especially in 1950s.
Yay! But I mean, I know even today, like, a lot of warm water animals will, like, sea animals, they'll congregate near, like, power plants and stuff because the water there is heated. And it's not polluted water. It's just water that's been heated and released back.
However, others reported it looked nothing like an iguana and was, quote, unlike anything they'd ever seen, end quote.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of wondering how you could describe something as, like, 3 to 4 feet tall and then later be like, it was 3 to 4 feet long.
Yeah.
That's very different
also,
than description.
Do iguanas walk on their hind legs?
I do not think so. I don't think they do.
I don't think so either.
So they're it wouldn't
explain
how
they're walking on its hind legs, you know?
I'm like, I'm no reptile expert, but I've never even seen, like, a picture of that.
Yeah.
You know, unless it was, like, a drawing or something. Mm. So when the news of this maybe iguana, maybe cryptid thing broke, the town of Loveland became so curious. They were, like, insatiable for information on this story, right? Because it was part of their folklore by this point. I mean, it had been 20 years that the first sighting, first and only sighting had been. And now we have these supposedly, like, very reliable people reporting that they've had sightings and they even have a body. Meanwhile, Matthews, you know, who found the body, he is kind of thinking that the whole mystery is solved. He's convinced that it's an iguana that was just missing its tail and, was kind of lost. And despite his insistence that it's just an iguana, the town continued to be really curious. And it kind of makes sense that they were because Matthews' story only explains his sighting. It doesn't explain anything about the 1955 frogman sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I think reptiles can live to be, like, old like that. Like, they can live a long time, but...
Especially iguanas.
I have trouble believing that something like that would survive in Ohio, with the winters in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't think.
I agree.
I don't think that it could have lived that long by itself.
Wouldn't its tail have grown back? Question mark?
I don't know.
Don't lizards' tails grow back?
Yeah, but...
An iguana's a lizard.
Probably only if they're amputated at a certain point. So maybe if...
I guess so.
Yeah.
But if it was completely missing its tail,
There's also the whole thing where he shot the iguana. So maybe when he shot it, like, in that spot and the tail, like, came off and he didn't find it. I don't know.
I mean, I think it would have been bloody or something, though, right?
That's true. And it didn't say anything about that. Yeah. But it could be a detail lost to time.
Yep.
I feel like all of these details can be lost to time, you
know? Pretty much. So, related to the three frogmen spotted in 1955 by the traveling salesman, many skeptics of this tale point out that the creature from Black Lagoon was released in 1954, so many Americans had, you know, amphibious-like monsters on the brain at the time.
Yeah, it's kind of like how a lot of UFO and, like, alien sightings and stuff today, they resemble things that have been in movies before those sightings started being reported. And then that's when suddenly people were saying, oh, I saw a flying saucer or a little green man, or, you know, those kind of sightings were not really before the movies, you know. But that said, the creature from the Black Lagoon notably doesn't own a magic sparkling wand, which is like,
such a random detail.
Like I'm just really baffled by how this is not the most, like, I feel like I've heard of this story before, but I definitely didn't know about the magic sparkling wand. I did not know that part. I was shocked when I saw it in the script.
Or the alfalfa or the almonds.
Yeah. And I just am sitting here going like, how is that not the most memorable part of this? Like, how did I, like, what? I'm just baffled. Okay, so that's the thing, right? The creature from the Black Lagoon, he doesn't have a magic sparkling wand. He's just a big mucky man, swamp creature. And he has a much larger stature than the 3.5 foot tall frog people that are just kind of hanging out and having a conversation along the Little Miami River. I mean, he was more like a Bigfoot covered in goo, right?
Yeah, like pond, or like...
He was like pond...
Swamp muck.
Did you ever read those Goosebumps books when you were a kid?
Yes, they terrified me.
Yeah, me too. There was one that was the, like, swamp monster.
Yeah.
Where they're, like, being chased around that old creepy house that's, like, caving in. It's like caving in. It's like their grandparents' house, but there's like holes in the floor and stuff. I always think of that.
There's a children's book that isn't it like The Lunch Lady from the Black Lagoon or something like that?
I've never heard of it, but I'm sure it exists.
No, The Cafeteria Lady from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, interesting. And, I love children's books like that. It's just They're
really,
so funny.
It's really cute and interesting. It was one of my favorite books growing up, so.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so again, despite this and all of this skeptical information, Matthew's story can't explain that exactly.
Yeah,
and
definitely not.
Also cannot entirely explain the most recent sighting from 2016.
Yeah, because I mean, this is way after the 70s, so yeah, you know, definitely not the same
iguana. And I mean, he killed
the iguana, so. Yeah. This recent sighting confirms that even if it isn't a frogman, there's definitely something in the Little Miami River, something running around the area, because clearly multiple people have seen some weird something. Stuff there. Yeah.
Something's there. So it was actually August of 2016, and it was the summer that Pokemon Go came out, and everyone was obsessed with it, and people were walking into traffic, and, you know, people were falling off of high-rises and stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
Like, okay.
It was very extra.
So a boy named Sam Jacobs was catching Pokemon with his girlfriend on Loveland's Madeira Road, and as they crossed the train tracks to the bank of Lake Isabella, they saw this huge frog staring at them, and Jacobs reports, quote, "Then the thing stood up and walked on its hind legs. I realize this sounds crazy, but I swear on my grandmother's grave, this is the truth," end quote.
Jacobs took photos and videos of the frog, which circulated on various Cincinnati news sites. In his photos, there are two glowing eyes atop a shadowy figure staring at the viewer.
And reporters called up Officer Mark Matthews, of course. They wanted to get his take on this. He was then retired, and he held fast to the story that it was all a hoax and that the Loveland frog was just that dead iguana dried up in the middle of the road.
Jacobs isn't so sure. He knows it sounds crazy, but he really did see something scary and weird in that lake. Whether it's a frogman, just a giant frog, he says he's never seen anything else like it. Has no idea what it was.
We've heard that before, right?
Oh, yeah,
so many
times. That's
what it said about the iguana, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, this incident is a hoax. When I did later research on it, it was revealed that it was a prank carried out by a local student from Archbishop Moeller High School in a homemade frog costume. But, like, in my opinion, I really don't think that would have been convincing enough for me to think it was a cryptid. So, I don't know. I wonder if the kid just claimed to have done it for publicity or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I can see it definitely being like a hoax that somebody did just to see if they could pull it off, you know?
But I don't understand how a homemade frog costume could convince, you know, a high schooler that...
But I wonder maybe if Jacobs was part of it. But also...
I guess so, but he's over here swearing on his grandmother's
grave.
Maybe he doesn't have a grandmother.
I don't know. But like also, he could also really have just not known what he saw, you know? Like, it was dark. You know what I mean? It was really dark, so it's possible that maybe he just couldn't see very well.
Yeah.
And he sees probably, like, kind of the face of a frog, and it's just a costume, but he doesn't know that because he's from a distance. And then it stands up, and he is not close enough to recognize that that's like obviously a person. But if he'd been a little closer and maybe there had been more light, he could have seen it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like if you're out
looking at the photo, I could see how it could be like a homemade frog costume, but it also is just weird enough to make me think maybe not.
Yeah.
So like at times I'm like, yeah, that could totally be a costume. Mm. But then I'm like, in all honesty, that actually would probably be what this type of cryptid looks like though. How do they get those eyes though?
Because I think, I think two things. First, I think I definitely could see it being a costume because of the eyes. Because I feel like somebody could have put like lights like in a hat.
That's true.
Or something, you know, like the kind of lights you would use in a workman's hat, you know, where they have like to go underground and stuff and they have the headlamp. So maybe he used headlamps to make the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to me, it looks very much like he's wearing shoes, but that could just be me.
I don't even think you can see that, right?
But it could also be shadows. I don't know. It might be because the way the water is.
He's half submerged in the water.
I guess so, yeah.
I think.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like, I wonder
I think that part is his reflection, right?
I think.
Of his arm? I don't know.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just the water rippling in the reflection.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard to tell, honestly. I don't think that the pictures themselves are hoaxed. Oh, and then there's another one where the frog came up out of the water. Like, the frog is in the water, like, really in the water. Like, the only thing sticking up is the light.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. So whatever it was, it really was, like, swimming.
Yeah.
It was not.
I was like, how far do you go to do a prank like that, though?
Yeah,
in a pond. And
you would have to, like, wait around.
Yeah.
Not knowing if anyone was going to see you or anything.
Yeah.
You know? Because it definitely sounds like he and his girlfriend were the only people out there.
Yeah.
Where they were, anyway. And, I mean, I can just imagine being around, like, Lake Norman State Park or something, which is a big lake near where we live. Yeah. And, you know, you can go on trails in the middle of the day when it's, like, beautiful.
If I saw that, I'd be like...
You don't see that many people.
What? Because that's where, I think, was it Lake Norman or Lake Wiley? I think it was Lake Wiley, where they had, like, the snake-headed fish, and then they found an alligator, and then...
I think they found a lot in Lake Wiley.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the further into South Carolina you go, the more...
weird it gets.
Well, it's South Carolina, which is, like, the Florida of the Middle East Coast area, yep. You know? Like I feel like
what's
in the north...
What's the best description of South Carolina?
You have New Jersey, in the south you have Florida, and then in the middle you have South Carolina.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, frogs.
Yeah. So anyways, there still appears to be a ton of questions left unanswered when it comes to the Loveland Frog. The cryptid certainly continues to spark Cincinnatians, cultural imaginations, and even tourists.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine there's no reason to go to Loveland, Ohio, unless you're looking for the frog, so...
Or if you're wanting to take in the beautiful scenery.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that lake probably is really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But most likely the frog.
Yeah, yeah, probably the frog. I mean, I would be there for the frog.
Yeah, we both would.
Yeah. Cryptid hunters in particular flock to Loveland, and they often come away with Loveland Frog paraphernalia, many wearing their very own I Saw the Loveland Frog t-shirt.
Because of course they made that. They're selling that because
nobody sees them. Yeah. I don't want to wear that unless it's true.
This is a walking lie. So, eager to get in on the publicity, a video game developer called Glorious Trainwrecks made a successor to the classic arcade game Frogger, where instead of helping a pixelated frog cross the road, you guide a frogman through traffic safely.
That's so cute!
I know.
Most notably, though, the Loveland Frog is famous for being the only cryptid with its own musical. What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Ohio writers.
This is why I had to read this part.
Oh my goodness. Ohio writers and actors Joshua Steele and Mike Hall wrote the bluegrass musical Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog, which debuted May 29th, 2014 at the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. That's amazing.
Isn't
I wish
like
I had seen that.
The best sentence we've ever
It
read.
Is.
So, in the show, Luke Honeywell and his girlfriend, Darla, set off with a bluegrass band to find Luke's missing grandfather, supposedly snatched by the frogman himself. The couple runs from moonshiners, learns about the frogman's legend from shadow puppets, and are interrupted from time to time by fake commercials from a local taxidermist.
This sounds...
I want to watch it.
I do too.
One day we'll watch it together.
I bet it's actually not bad. Like, sounds like, I don't know.
It honestly sounds like Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, it sounds just kind of, in general, like, very creative, like, in a good way, you know?
Yeah.
The Frogman's unique Cincinnati flair inspired Mike Hall, a longtime Loveland resident, and audiences shared that love. The show ran for 5 whole performances, all sold out.
And that's, like, literally one of the craziest things I've ever written in a script.
Like, what?
And I was like, I'm actually inspired. We need to make, like, a cryptid musical. Yes. Like, a cryptid mashup musical.
Yes.
And that can be our new business venture.
Yeah.
That we're not going to do. Write it down on an ever-growing list of things that we're not going to do.
No. But, yeah. So, definitely going to be our new business venture. Definitely. All right. Anyways, you might be asking, why do Cincinnatians show such devotion to the Loveland Frog? Maybe because it's something uniquely theirs. It's an imaginative story to explain why their home city and the local area around Cincinnati is special.
Or perhaps it's because the Loveland Frog is also emblematic of the watersheds and wetlands that make up many an Ohioan's backyard. Ohio has some of the most abundant plant biodiversity in the United States, containing 32,950 acres of national parks.
Yeah, there's that one park, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a national park, and it is kind of different from most national parks because it's kind of in the city. Like, it's not, you know, most national parks are kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like, you have to drive quite a ways to get to them, but this one is, like, in the middle of Cincinnati or Columbus or Akron or somewhere like that. I think it's Cuyahoga. I think it's Cuyahoga.
It's between Cleveland and Akron.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's on the Erie Canal towpath trail.
Aww.
Connects to my home.
Your home.
My home.
One of your many homes.
One of them.
Yes.
So yeah, it's very diverse and might actually represent the fact that they have such a really steeped history in water areas.
And with this much wildlife, it actually makes a lot of sense that a lonely salesman driving at night might spot a frogman or two trekking the riverfront among coyotes, possums, and hellbenders.
So, is there actually a Loveland frog, or two, or three, in Loveland, Ohio? Or is it simply a case of an escaped iguana, an urban legend, and the imaginations of a few generations of Loveland residents?
We'll likely never know, and that's part of the fun of it. Although, if a frog like that did exist, I think I would be really horrified.
Yeah. I was just thinking earlier when I mentioned Princess and the Frog, I hate frogs walking on their hind legs. Ew. Like, I don't know if that's actually a thing that they do in real life.
I don't think so.
But they did it in the movie, and I was very disturbed by it.
Yeah.
I was like,
sir? It doesn't bother me in the movie, but if it happened in real life, I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
No.
Especially if it's not supposed to.
Yeah.
It's like, what's happening here?
Like, unnatural. You know what's really weird I just remembered is that last night my mom and I, we were sitting out on our patio and we were talking about how she'd been planting flowers and she was like digging and I guess she accidentally caved in like a little hoppy toad den or whatever.
Oh, no.
It's really sad. And so suddenly this frog just like popped up out of the dirt and she was just like, what? Where did this come from?
Well, he was concerned because his home had collapsed.
I was like, he survived a natural disaster. But anyway, we start joking about that. And then she was like, we're having a problem with like the foundation of our house. Like there's mold or something down there. So we keep joking like, oh, what's causing the mold? You know, like what's causing the problem? And so my mom was like, I bet there's a giant frog down there and he's living down there and it's all his fault. And I don't remember what her logic about it, like her reasoning for saying it was a frog was, but like it's just so funny then that we came in today and recorded this.
Yeah, because you didn't know that.
I did not know because I thought you were doing a true crime thing.
Yeah.
So
who knows? You know. The Loveland Frog might actually be in Caroline's foundation of the house. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we were saying the other day that we're like very in sync right now. So
We've been like kind of weirdly in sync.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Our minds. They're connected.
Which is funny because we actually haven't been together for a while.
So long.
Yeah.
It's I don't been think a long I've seen you since an your birthday.
Yeah.
It was so long ago.
Apologies for the delay.
Ara had a lot of stuff at work and grad school stuff. I had exams and papers to write and all kinds of things. And it was just a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Oh, I got accepted into grad school.
Yes, she did.
Thankfully.
I'm so excited for her.
I chose to go to University of St. Andrews in Scotland. So if you have any Scottish listeners, hello.
Yes.
I would love to meet you guys over there and hear some of your folk tales or your ghost stories, your true crime stories.
Would love to hear that.
Yeah. Very exciting. There will probably be some episodes about Scottish castles.
Absolutely. Yes.
Moors, and I'm actually hoping to do my master's in basically Scottish cunning folk and their micro traditions and cultures, especially through the lens of like ethnobotany, so natural plants related to the area. So
because it's so related to that.
I'm so excited for it, but
that's so cool.
Yeah. So
yay.
Hopefully we will have some really interesting stuff coming out come fall time for me.
Yes.
And we will see what happens from there. Yay. But
hopefully we'll be back to
more regular schedules.
Yeah.
We need to figure out a way to record
separately from each other. And get new mics, because our mics are...
Yeah.
My mic is... She's in bad shape.
Yeah. She's literally duct taped to a...
Something. A couple things. Like a...
to get it to fit.
Like a thing that you would lift like furniture with.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. It's been a day, you guys.
Yeah. So send this to whoever you possibly know so that we can get more lessons.
For real.
That we can afford to buy new mics. But I actually saw we had a lot of uptick in listens since we recorded our Ukraine episode. So,
which is so exciting.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Hello to all you guys.
Hi.
We're Caroline and Ara, as we kind of said.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening this long without us greeting you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we did, but just not the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate you listening, especially to the chaotic garbage fire that is our podcast.
I know, right?
We are literally the most,
I don't even know the word.
Most challenged podcast.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's funny, like I'll listen back and I'm like, oh, we don't sound ridiculous at all. We're like totally normal. And then we'll sit down to record again and I'm like, what is wrong with us? Why are we like this?
It's my pro editing skills that makes us normal.
It's Ara's editing skills. She makes us bearable for you guys.
Yes.
She's the reason that you can stand to listen to us. Truly.
Thank you guys for bearing with us.
Absolutely.
So research from this episode comes from Portalist. We want to give a shout out to them because they did a lot of the research and writing for this. So
cool.
Follow and join our Facebook group, which
is
Weird and Grim, or you can like our page on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We also have an Instagram at Wicked Weird and Grim, and our Twitter is only at Wicked Weird Grim. We also have a TikTok. And we have Patreon.
So we have Patreon. We are developing some cool merch for you guys. We also are on Anchor, and you can send us little like voice messages, and we would love to hear from you. We are on pretty much every platform that you can listen to podcasts. So wherever you like to do that, if it lets you leave reviews or give us a rating, please do that. Especially if it's on Apple, because they do let you do reviews.
Yes.
And like
Spotify.
To hear. Yes. Yes.
We love our 5-star reviews on Spotify. So.
Absolutely. I didn't even realize Spotify let you do reviews.
Yep. I think it's a new rollout feature.
Okay. Gotcha.
I've seen it more recently.
I just haven't checked. I feel like I always listen to podcasts through Apple just because I started using it before I was using Spotify. So
yeah.
I just keep them like separate from music, I guess. But
so thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next Wicked Weird Wednesday with the Grimm Sisters.
Ooh.
Bye guys.
Bye. I did not wave. This says, seeing a lot of goths about again, which is bad news. Goths are the harbinger of recession, whether it's the 2008 recession, the 1980s recession, or 5th century Rome and the collapse of the empire. They may not be the cause, but they are the warning we should heed.
Okay, Karen.
No, it's a joke.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, the Goths sacked Rome. The Visigoths. It's funny.
Oh!
Yeah, it's a history joke.
I get that now.
I should have prefaced. I'm sorry.
I thought it was, like, a Karen Facebook post.
No, however, I can definitely see a Karen Facebook posting that. However, I don't think a Karen would know that the Visigoths existed.
Yeah.
Goths,
I don't either. I just think they were harking back to the fall of one Western civilization or
other
something.
Other than that they are the people who sacked Rome. That's all I know.
So yeah.
I know nothing else about them.
Nothing else.
I don't even know where they were from. Other than like probably Germany and Poland and something.
Something like that.
Or Vikings. They could have been Vikings. I don't know.
The Vikings.
Manatees do that in Florida.
I saw a manatee when I was in Charleston. It was just floating underneath the dock.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, it was like sunning itself basically.
I love manatees so much.
We were really confused about what it was at first.
We went to this park in Florida where there were a bunch of manatees.
Oh, yeah. My grandparents lived by that park. My grandparents live by that park.
They're so beautiful. I love them. They make me happy. They're just chilling.
It's also no wonder people thought they were mermaids, though, because, like, for the first 5 minutes of watching this thing, I was not sure what it was. I was is it a hippo? Is it a person?
Is it a rock?
A woman?
Like, what is it?
A rock?
Yeah. I think, too, like, just the way their tail is shaped, you know, and the way that they're very, but they're still kind of graceful. There's a gracefulness to them. Yeah. I don't know. I love them.
Little anyway. Balloons of the sea.
Yes. Okay, that was our manatee sidetrack.
Scamp muck.
Yeah.
Scamp. Scump? No. Swamp. Oh my god. There's this like children's boot. Book. Oh my god.
You're thinking of the boot factory.
My English is just swiftly going downhill. Well, it's going to be a non-English day after this.
Yeah.
Also, have you heard of the Tokoloshe?
I have not.
It's like a little dwarf. He's also known as a hilly. He's like a South African Zulu culture dwarf.
Interesting.
I might do an episode on that.
I feel like this is probably a true thing in Ohio, too, because Ohio is also a cheap state to live in. My friend bought a house for under $100,000. Because no one wants to live in Ohio.
Because it's like a flyover state. And like,
yeah, which for the record, my friend Kara in Ohio, shout out to you again. I know you agree with us on this, so.
she knows.
She's always like, in Ohio, there's just corn. We are corn. And I'm like,
We are corn.
I'm like, well, you know what? We kind of are corn too.
I don't know.
There's a lot of corn here. And tobacco and cotton. Which debuted.
Darla. That's Darla with an H. D-H-A-R-L-A. Oh, yeah. Darla. Darla.
Darla. Darla.
Darla.
I really have so much respect for people that can write music at all. Because, like, I can sing, but if you ask me to write anything, I'd just be like,
I can make up, like, little jingles on the spot.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that I would be good at, like, writing music, like, when I have time to think about it. Or, I don't know, like freestyle rapping, because it's the same thing, just a different genre. But no, I can't do either of those things.
No, so. It's so hard. Like, I just am so impressed by people who do that.
Many in Ohio.
So a song from the Loveland Frog musical.
I know. Ohio.
A lot of sense that a lonely tiled say tiled.
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 And then I guess we should do our outro.
Yeah. I guess so, that's it.
I forgot to put our outro in.
I forgot too.
Okay. You can always